Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, all right, as I settle in. Didn't feel as bad today with the COVID player absences, which hopefully is a good thing. I mean, I guess I don't think we're probably not over the worst of it, but didn't seem to be as many names added to the list today, today being Monday the 20th. And, of course, this is Fantasy Overtime. A sports ethos presentation. Another game postponed today, which reduced the slate a little bit. So only six games to cover. Something I just thought I'd mention before we dive into the games, and I'll touch on it again at the end, is we have launched, I believe, it is up on the website. Let me just double check. Should be here somewhere. I'm sure it is. Anyway, we have a list of every single player that's in the protocols at the moment. I've put together a list of it, based sort of listed by team of every player who's out in the protocols and who you can stream in as a result of them being out. I think we're going to add the dates in as well, just so you know when the players went into the protocols, because I guess we're looking at generally a 10-day time frame for most to come back, those that are asymptomatic anyway. So we'll start with the first game tonight, the Sixers over the Celtics. Pretty entertaining game, given that both teams were without a few players. For the Sixers, Embiid, I mean, he was huge. He was always going to be huge tonight with the Celtics down, Robert Williams and Al Horford and Grant Williams. Look, fantastic. He's a first-round guy. Injuries are just the issue with him there. Matisse Thybulle started in this one and played 32 minutes. Only 7 points, but had 3 steals and a block. This is sort of more like what you want to be getting from him on a nightly basis. I'm just not sure the minutes are going to be there when they're healthy. So, yeah, look, if you've got him, just hold him, see what happens. But this is one of his better games, which sort of tells you a lot about what he's been doing this season. Not much else for the Sixers, to be honest. Danny Green was solid, played 40 minutes, but again, they were elevated because there were so many guys out. Both he and Matisse Thybulle are just defensive streamers, really. And picking which one on any given night is pretty tricky. So, not a lot there. And not a lot for the Celtics either. Ennis Freedom started and had a double-double, which we were pretty certain he would do, but he did very little else. Not a good matchup up against Embiid, obviously. One of Marcus Smart's better games here, so that's a good thing if you had him in your lineup tonight. Dennis Schroeder, 25 minutes, despite starting, only had 8 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. Pretty poor, and he's actually been trending down over the last couple of games. So he's probably still a hold, but only a soft hold. I don't think you need to be holding him. Peyton Pritchard is probably just someone to watch, but again, only 22 minutes in a game where they're down a few players is not that encouraging. So outside of Brown, Tatum, and Smart here, and then Horford and Robert Williams, there's not a lot of value outside their starters. Next game, Bulls got over the Rockets pretty easily. Rockets at least kept it interesting, got some made some ground up in garbage time, but were never really in it. Christian Wood, 23-11, solid game. No defensive stats again, which that is becoming a bit of an issue for him. We'd like to be seeing sort of at least one block a game, 1.2, but hasn't been there the last few games. Şengün, 19 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. That's fine. Like, I mean, it's not... they're not numbers you would associate with a must-roster player, but we can sort of see through the weeds here and we know what's coming, so hold him where possible. Garrison Matthews, 2 3-pointers in 26 minutes for 6 points, not much else. Just a streamer, along with Amani Brooks, who had 15 and 4 with 2 steals. He's also a streamer. You're picking a name here out of a hat on any given night, really. Kenyon Martin had another double-digit game, 15 points on 6 of 7 shooting. He can be an efficient, low-volume scorer who can chip in defensive stats. In as long as his minutes are sort of up around this mark, 24, then he's probably a back-end 12 team. In deeper leagues, I'd be adding him everywhere at the moment just to see what his minutes look like when they get... Jalen Green and Kevin Porter back. News on those guys is that Jalen Green could be back this week. They're hoping in the next game or two. Kevin Porter will be after Christmas, so they weren't really specific, but it looks like, yeah, Green could be back for the next game, might miss one more. And for Porter, we're probably looking at another week at least before he's back. For the Bulls, Alex Caruso went down in this one with a foot sprain. That's not a great injury. To be honest, it might not be a lengthy absence, but I think it will be an absence. So we want to go and add Kobe White for now. He's really just going to be a source of points, not much else. But had 24 points here, including 5 threes. I think Alphonso McKinney's probably worth a look as well. He had 16 points in 29 minutes. They're the two that I would be targeting if you have to... pick someone to stream in. And I think Kobe White's probably the safer of the two, but I mean, neither are guaranteed. But both should be getting minutes in the high 20s, at least until Levine is back. The third game, so Ja Morant returned for the Grizzlies and they lost, which was a little ironic given how well they had played without Ja Morant. Start with the Thunder. Not actually much for there, really. Josh Giddey, another really good game, 19 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. Obviously a must-roster player. Darius Bazley moved to the bench and had 4 blocks. I don't mind this move for him. I actually think it might help his value. I'm still not sure he's a 12-team player, but if he's I've seen him on a couple of my waiver wires, and I'm at least considering him. I don't know whether I will actually add him. But, yeah, worth a look, I think. And beyond Shea and your main guys here, not a lot to see for the Thunder. As we know, their rotation's changed. It makes it hard. I tend to just stay away from most Thunder players.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the Grizzlies, as I said, Ja Morant was back and had 16 and 8 with 6 boards, 2 steals, 1 block, 6 of 12 shooting. So really good line from him. Desmond Bane still had 25 points with 7 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. I still like Bane long term. I think he'll remain a sort of borderline top 100 player as long as his shot's falling. He had 20 shots here. Dylan Brooks had 23. Ja Morant had 12. So Morant's shot attempts are going to go up, which is going to take a little bit away from Brooks and Bane, but I still like both of those guys as must-hold 12-team players. Steve Adams had 12 rebounds in the first quarter, ended with 14 rebounds, so a bit disappointing given the start. He's more of a rebound streamer at this point. And De'Anthony Melton had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block. And look, they're decent numbers. He shot 1 of 8, so if he goes 4 of 8, he probably ends with 10, 4, 5, 1 and 1. In 21 minutes, he's probably a drop now, but if you want to hold just for another game to see how things go. But I think both he and Kyle Anderson are probably drops with Ja Morant back in the lineup. The fourth game of the evening, the Jazz got over the Hornets. So Jazz were up pretty big in this one. Hornets made it interesting, which is always good for fantasy value. Kelly Oubre had 5 points in 31 minutes. Three steals sort of salvaged his night a little bit, and he did only attempt 9 field goal attempts, so not as bad as it could have been, but still pretty ordinary. I am still holding him, though, for now. Bridges was good, 21 and 11. Shooting not quite there, but you take those numbers any night. Plumlee, look, he had 26 minutes, 9 rebounds, a steal and a block. Really just a streamer, though. I don't see him as a must-hold 12-team guy. Terry Rozier started pretty bad in this one, quite a poor start, but ended with 20 points. But didn't do a lot else. I mean, 6 rebounds and 4 assists are okay, but no defensive stats, 7 of 19 from the field. Obviously, must roster, he's going to be like that the rest of the season. Probably a top 80, top 90 player the rest of the way. And Jalen McDaniels with Gordon Hayward out. Jalen McDaniels played a little bit more, had 14 and 5 with 2 blocks and a steal. Look, he can have probably some streaming value as long as Hayward is out. He can contribute on the defensive end, grab a few rebounds, hits threes. So, yeah, look, I think there is a bit of value there for him. For the Jazz, could just put myself on repeat. When talking about the Jazz, nothing to talk about, really. All your main guys did what you want them to do. Royce O'Neal had 13 rebounds, which is interesting. He's a back-end 12-team guy at best, but I'd rather stream his position, to be honest. Jordan Clarkson had 11 points, really just a streamer. He's probably rostered in way too many leagues. I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure that's the case for him. The Warriors got up over the Kings. Look, fairly close, this one. Warriors just too talented in the end and sort of ran away with it a little bit. For the Kings, Chimezie Metu had another good game, 16 and 6 with 3 assists, a steal and a block in 34 minutes. Didn't hit a three-pointer, so if he'd hit one of those, would have made it a little bit nicer. But he probably needs to be rostered at the moment. We haven't really got word on Rashawn Holmes. He's been questionable the last couple of games. So he's getting closer, but isn't there yet, and they're not going to rush him back, I don't think. Damian Jones, coming off his 23 points in 19 minutes, played 21 minutes and had 0 points. So, he's not a guy to go and add. He did have 2 blocks and a steal, which is nice if you were holding him, but I don't think you need to hold beyond this for any reason. Tristan Thompson, really just a back-end streaming option if you need rebounds. He had 10 and 9 in 27 minutes. Mo Harkless, 25 minutes and did not much at all. He's not a guy to be adding anywhere. For the Warriors, Steph Curry, 30-point game. Don't need to talk about him at all. Kuminga started and had 2 points in 6 minutes. Draymond Green had a triple-double, so that was nice. He with 4 defensive stats as well. This is sort of vintage Draymond Green, so good to see him stepping up a little bit on the offensive end with Wiggins out and with Jordan Poole out. Damian Lee started, played 30 minutes and had 18 points. He's a nice streaming option, I think, here while Poole is out and Wiggins is out. Gary Payton had 3 steals and 12 points. He can be a very, a statistically based, probably not the right phrase, streamer. So if you need steals, give him a look. Otto Porter was okay. 4 blocks. He won't get that again anytime soon. He can have a little bit of value with these guys out, but you just have to be aware that he may be rested or given a night off or have an injury or something like that. So there is a little bit of uncertainty just with his availability from one game to the next. And then in the last game of the night, the Spurs got up pretty comfortably over the Clippers. For the Spurs, we had Keldon Johnson with a double-double. Look, he's looked okay. And I don't think he needs to be held in 12-team leagues, but while he's playing 32 minutes a night, he's probably worth rostering. Doug McDermott had 16 points and almost literally nothing else, two assists. So just a point streamer for him. Derek White salvaged his line a little bit. Didn't start very well, didn't hit a three. So not one of his better games in terms of statistical production, but he was a plus 22 in the plus minus column. So had a good impact on the actual game. Someone I sort of mentioned when I did my Twitter thing yesterday is Jock Landale, who looks to have secured that backup centre spot for the Spurs. So he had 14 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Obviously not even close to a 12-team league option yet, but in 14, 16-team leagues, I'd probably be just keeping an eye on him. If he can get up to 15, 16, 17 minutes a night, I think he can have some value. And I'm probably a bit biased because he's from Australia as well, but I think I'm entitled to do that. For the Clippers, Paul George was back. He had a good night. He looked fine. 31 minutes, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Fire him up in all your lineups. Luke Kennard still had 28 minutes, but only had 5 points. You could maybe hold him for one more game if you had picked him up. I've got him in one league. I'm just contemplating whether to hold him or just move on. I don't think the upside is there for him that he's going to be a must-roster player the rest of the way. So if you do want to move on, I don't think it's something that you'll regret too much there. With no Isaiah Hartenstein, who was out with his ankle injury, Serge Ibaka came back into the rotation, played 22 minutes, and had 4 points with 8 rebounds. So, nothing to see for him. I'm hoping Hartenstein isn't out for too long, as I talked about yesterday. I'd love him to come back and take that backup centre role again, but we'll just have to wait and see how long he's out. And not a lot else for the Clippers. Reggie Jackson just taking every shot possible and not hitting many of them, which he does, but he goes through periods like this, so he'll be fine. And Eric Bledsoe, back-end guy, not doing a lot, so we're okay to move on there. Now I'll just see if we've got any name. Oop, wrong button. Maxey, looking at Tyrese Maxey. Yeah, look, Maxey's hard. I mean, he started really well, obviously. I think he's a top 100 player the rest of the way. I don't even know where he's ranked now. Let me have a look at what his rank is now. He has cooled off, was obviously out today with a quad injury from memory. Where are we, player ranks? Okay, so he's 58th on the season, 88th over the last month. And I think if you were to look at last 2 weeks, he's 123rd. And that's probably his floor, I think, just with how poor he's been playing. So 120, so I think he's probably around the 100 mark. Although in saying that, the Sixers have probably not had, if it's any, they wouldn't have had many games where they've actually had everyone healthy at the same time. So we probably still haven't had a really good sample size of what his role looks like when they've got everyone healthy. So I still think he's a top 100 player, as I said, he's not going to be that top 60 player, top 70 player that he was to open the season. And I think that looks like we're done for today. Tomorrow's show, what's tomorrow? So it's Wednesday for me. I should be around. I think I'm heading off to the movies with the kids in the morning, but I'll be back to do the show in the afternoon when games wrap up, probably around this time. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will talk at you all tomorrow. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.